Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY13 earnings conference call of Cadila Healthcare Limited. We have with us today Mr. Ganesh Nayak, Executive Director and Chief Operating Officer at Cadila Healthcare Limited. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to hand over the conference to Mr. Ganesh Nayak. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon and welcome to our post-result teleconference for the second quarter of FY13. We have with us Mr. Pankaj Patel, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Nitin Parekh, CFO, and Vishal Gaur, General Manager, Investor Relations. First, let me share some of the highlights of the operations for the quarter. Our India formulations business posted a sale of 6,018 million rupees, up by 28%, backed by new products and the acquisition of Biochem. Our growth without Biochem was 18%. We launched over 15 new products, including line extensions in India during the quarter, of which five were for the first time in India. Our U.S. business posted a sale of 3,674 million rupees, up by 20%. After the approval of our Moraiya facility by the U.S. FDA in July, we received approvals for 10 ANDAs, including five for injectable products during this quarter. We initiated commercial production and the supply of three injectable products from our Moraiya facility for the U.S. market. We filed three additional ANDAs with the U.S. FDA, including one for injectable products. For Brazil, we filed five new product dossiers with Anvisa, and for Mexico, we filed two new product dossiers with COFEPRIS. Our Europe business grew by 23% and posted a sale of 762 million rupees, with the launch of seven products in France and five in Spain. We received approvals for eight new product dossiers for the European market. In Japan, we filed four new product dossiers and received approval for four new products from the regulatory body. Our exports to emerging markets grew by 76%, with a sale of 754 million rupees. Zydus Wellness posted a sale of 965 million rupees, up by 10%, and the net profit grew by 38% to 236 million rupees. Our animal health business posted a sale of 617 million rupees, up by 20%, backed by three new product launches in India, including one for the first time. Our JVs posted a growth of 73% and posted a sale of 1,300 million rupees. Zydus Hospira, the JV, successfully completed the U.S. FDA inspection. Now, let me take you through the broad financial numbers. During the quarter, on a consolidated basis, our total income from operations was up by 25% to 15.5 billion rupees. Earnings before interest, depreciation, and tax, excluding the impact of exchange rate fluctuations on operating transactions, was up by 14% to 2,930 million rupees. Our profit before tax was up by 15% to 1,533 million rupees. The net profit stood at 951 million rupees, showing a degrowth of 7%. This was mainly because of higher tax provision. Thank you, and we shall now start the Q&A session. Over to the coordinator for the Q&A.
Thank you, sir. Participants, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. Participants are requested to use only handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question at this time, you may press star and one. We have the first question from the line of Manoj Garg from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to all of you and thanks for taking my question, sir. Sir, this is on gross margin. Sequentially, we have seen around 160 bits kind of contraction on the gross margins. So is it largely attributed to Brazil or you would, maybe change your product mix in other geography also?
This is attributed to mainly the foreign exchange fluctuation impact and also the lower sale in Brazil because of Anvisa strike.
Okay. Like because currency of foreign exchange was largely more or less same in terms of if I look at the average realizations and I'm taking out the impact of whatever the loss which we booked in terms of inventory readjustment or restatement. Despite that, there was around 250, 260 bps kind of contraction in the margin on a sequential basis, sir.
Manoj, we have shared the details of exchange rate fluctuations which has been booked up in the cost of goods in quarter two as well as, half one. There was some reclassification in the exchange fluctuation number which we shared earlier in quarter one.
Right.
Now, if you look at the revised quarter one number,
okay.
And if you make those adjustments, revised adjustments in the quarter one number, then, and, take cognizance of this exchange rate fluctuation and reduce sales of Brazil,
right.
Then actually, quarter-on-quarter basis, there is hardly any change in the gross margin.
Fair enough, sir. And second, just would like to understand with regard to Hospira JV. Overall JV, we have shown very good growth, which is around 70-75%. But whether within the JV, has there a change in the product mix, like with regard to Hospira per se, which has, relatively higher margins within among the JVs?
The JV overall has done well during the quarter and that has happened all along, so it's not only the restricted to Hospira JV, but also the JV with Mancomed.
Right.
And we had higher sales of Doctor Excel, and we, in the process we also received a higher margin share.
Okay, okay. And so this kind of growth which we have seen is around 70-75% kind of growth we have seen in this JV. Is it attributed largely to Hospira with regard to incremental supply in the U.S. market?
Yes, it is attributed largely to Hospira, but also the Nycomer JV also continues to grow.
Okay, okay. That's all from my side and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nimish Mehra from MP Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. Sir, I wanted to know whether we have realized any margin improvement in our biochem business or not, which was due any time.
Yes, we have a margin improvement compared to last year. We don't have the details exactly, but Vishal can talk to you later.
Okay, but is it significant enough to change the overall group margin and is it likely to improve further or how?
Likely to improve further, the margins. All of the synergy effects are already we have started realizing.
I see. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashish Rathi from Equirus. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking the question, sir. Tax rate, I just wanted to understand, we have seen it quite a bit of a jump from here in quarter and quarter and also from...
Will you be a little loud, please?
Yeah, so just wanted to understand on the tax rates, why has there been sudden increase to 32.2% on terms of PBT? And if you could also give us some, understanding on the outlook going forward for the same.
Yeah, the tax rate is basically has increased because of the imposition of AMT on the partnership form. So, compared to last year, that is the main increase.
Okay. No, but as I understand, you know, we were at around 12-13% kind of a tax rate in the partnership structure. So, and now it has, you know, this quarter has been substantially high at 32%. Is it all due to that, or is it also because of some deferred tax?
There was no tax on the partnership which is located in 16 because of the fiscal benefits given by government.
Yeah.
There is a 19% tax is AMT on partnership from also.
Yes.
And, you know, the large part of our domestic turnover comes from that plant, and therefore there is impact.
So, sir, for full year, like, what should we assume in terms of tax rate for the company?
Annually, you can assume about 25-27%.
25-27. Okay. So, this is expected to normalize going forward. Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. And, sir, just on the hospital JV, have you added any new products?
No.
Okay. Just on constant currency in US, if you could give me, sir. Constant currency growth?
Yeah. In constant currency, in US, the growth has been 13%.
13%.
13.
Sorry, 13.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much. I'll join back with you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of HR Gala from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, congratulations for a fairly good set of numbers. Hello. Can you just throw some light on what's happening on the arrangement with Bayer and this one, Abbott?
Yeah, we are likely to start the commercial supply during the next quarter. Abbott.
And Bayer?
JV is already progressing as per the plan.
Okay. So the JV sales numbers which we are reporting would be inclusive of this, is it not?
50% of our share.
Yeah, 50% of our share. Okay. Sir, going ahead, how do you see the outlook for the margin, you know, which has declined mainly because of the increase in material cost which you explained, is partly because of the forex impact and lower sales in Brazil.
So Brazil sales should normalize next quarter.
Okay.
Considering that Anvisa strike is over and things are getting to normalization now, so by next quarter it should be better. The Brazil sales are normalizing. Foreign exchange is a very difficult subject for me to comment, so it all depends upon how the exchange rate fluctuates during this quarter and what is ultimately the 31st December exchange rate.
Okay.
And the reporting number.
Okay. And sir, how much capital expenditure we have already said, but what will be the full year plan?
We have already given guidance of 650 crores for the entire year.
So we are going to spend that much. Okay. Thank you very much and wish you all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Ashish Upkanlawal from Spark Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. What are your comments on the performance of the four brands in Zydus Wellness, how they are faring now in the marketplace? Any pickup that you would have seen because the numbers on top line seem to be 10%, which is lower than what historically has been. So,
speak a little bit louder.
Yes, sir. What are your comments on performance of the four brands of Zydus Wellness? Any pickup there that you have seen after what we saw in the last year?
So I think during the quarter we have seen Sugar Free and Everyuth accelerating their growth pace, and we saw the improvement in the growth, and the growth is already touching the double digit number now, and it's costing actually a double digit number. There was a stagnant sale on Nutralite, and that's the reason why we see a single digit growth of 9.6% in the non-number, 9.8% actually to be correct.
Yeah.
But we believe that sugar Nutralite also should pick up. Growth base should come up.
Okay. But sir, would you say that maybe in a year's time things should normalize and we should return to maybe 15% plus kind of growth rates? And any strategies that you can share on what we are doing to achieve any such numbers on the top line growth?
Well, otherwise you will see significant jump in growth.
Okay. But any specific reasons,
there are two reasons for growth going up. One of the lot of actions which we have taken are yielding results, and we are seeing growth improving. Second thing, last year, this quarter, you know, our sales was negatively grown. So now that negative growth, we are going to show a better growth. So considering all that, we expect good growth this quarter and thereafter maintain a growth better than 15% for sure.
Okay. But sir, comparing on a like-to-like basis with last year, your A&P was lower. So isn't advertising, I mean, in a scenario where top line is under pressure, A&P would have been pushed up? I mean, just not getting the reasons why the sales should bounce back. Not to say that only A&P will help it, but otherwise reading the P&L, that's what I think. I mean,
A&P is a function of timing also. You know, you have some products which you don't advertise in the month of winter, or sorry, in the monsoon period. So obviously you might have lower sales, lower spending of A&P in certain time of the year. In certain time of the year, we might spend more. So that is kind of a continuous thing. But we are currently basically following the budget, and we are going to spend.
Hello.
Going to be better than last year.
Okay, so the A&P increase, should it be 10-15% at least higher than last year, I mean, going by your budgets?
I don't have exact number with me, but probably more than last year.
Okay. Sir, anything to share on Actilife, because it's been some time after its launch, so how is it faring in the market?
Actilife has consolidated now in the marketplace. We have got a custom sale, and we are currently focused a lot on the merchandising activity and obviously activity. Subsequent to that, you will see
AFS
spending also.
Sure, sir. Lastly, on the tax rate, it was pretty low this quarter for Zydus Wellness. So, I mean, is this quarter an aberration, and the annual number would be higher than this, basically?
On quarter basis, it also depends upon the proportion of new product to total business. And as Mr. Pankaj Patel just shared, new product had lower share in this quarter. So, annualized guidance
which
we are giving is about
24%
tax rate.
24% you said, right? Hello, is it 24%?
22.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll come back with more questions afterwards. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bhavan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Few things. Domestic market, excluding the Biochem acquisition, has been now trailing 17% growth. Pankaj, what are the challenges that you foresee in the second half and the year next to keep this momentum going?
I think the challenge continues to be around basically improving on the effectiveness of the sales forces and managing the new product launches.
But do you think that you are at the growth peak, or is there some more room to catch up in the next second half or in the years to come?
I believe that we are not at the growth peak. We can still increase the growth further, given the fact that we have done a lot of activities and a lot of action in the Indian market, and now we are seeing the results of that.
But this regulatory framework and all that would not derail
Regulatory framework, wherever it happens, we will know what exactly is going to be impact, and we can revise the number then. Today, it's very difficult to comment exactly what's going to be the new regulatory framework. With respect to product approvals and things are getting a little bit normalized, so I don't think we should see much challenge in getting new product approvals going forward. With respect to pricing, you know, it's all open subject, we don't know.
So on productivity, volumes, and other things being same, you think growth can further increase from here on, if not come down?
Yes.
Perfect. And Nesher, how is that performing for the quarter? What would be the...
Perform as per budget during the quarter and as per our expectations, and we are on track to launch an additional product during this quarter.
Okay, what would be the addressable market for that new product launch that would be in Q3?
I'm going to be front of me, so...
Okay, no problem. And in terms of new launches and injectables and all of that, when do we see that forthcoming?
It's going to start happening this quarter onwards.
And how many products do you see? 2, 3?
This quarter we would launch about 3 products, yeah.
Okay, that would be injectables probably.
Injectables, we actually already supplied last quarter. This quarter, we are going to supply some orals.
Okay, fine. Thanks. I'll be lucky. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Just follow from the last question. So the injectable that you supplied last quarter, is that already part of the JV sales?
No, it's not a part of the JV sales, sorry.
Sorry?
So, sorry, I don't get your question.
Sorry, just on the last question that you mentioned that you supplied some injectables last quarter. Is that already part of the P&L that you reported in this quarter?
No, it is reported as part of other exports. It's clubbed along with emerging markets because it is not our own sales.
Okay, it's good there. Okay, just one question on the Forex. Just one clarity. When you book sales, let's say the U.S. sales that you book it, what will be the average dollar rate that you'll book at? Will it be around the 55 average for the quarter?
Yeah, little less than that.
Yeah, and then when you in the COGS, you report almost 64 crore of Forex loss. So it's basically the hedges are around less than 50. So it's correspondingly, you are reporting a loss there.
Yes. During the quarter, we settled around $61 million worth of forward contracts. So that very much takes care of almost entire U.S. sales. So effectively, we realized less than 15 there.
And what will be your hedge position right now?
Only $19 million worth of forward contracts are outstanding now.
At what rate? Again, around 50?
Around 50.
Okay. And just one clarification on the biochem business. When you acquired it, it was the annualized sales of 260 crore. And based on the numbers that you provided, biochem just did less than 50 crore this quarter. One, based on first half, how is the seasonality at Biocon? Is second half much, much stronger than first half? Or let's say right now, once you acquired it, what's the run rate which Biocon is doing right now?
Well, there is some, I think, while calculating the differential amount of Biocon, there are certain other adjustments which are required to be done. So that I can explain to you later because require some more time. Suffice to say that excluding biochem, the total growth was 18% in India formulations business.
Okay. And just one clarification on your tax rate as well. I had the impression that earlier, after the this in the budget, when the tax was imposed on the partnership structure, you guided for a 22-23% tax rate guidance, which you have increased to 25-27%. In fact, first quarter tax rate was 25% as well. So what has changed? Or let's say I had the wrong impression that you had given a guidance of 22-23% on the tax rate.
The rate that we give as a guidance is a composite rate for all entities at a controlled level. So depending on how the mix of different entities come out in terms of profitability, that changes the rate.
So you're saying that, see, for example, in terms of mix, let's say my assumption will be in your mix today, U.S. will be at a higher tax jurisdiction, and that sales doesn't seem to be going up. So what has changed significantly in this quarter that the tax rate is 32%?
See, overseas entities like Brazil, Pankaj just now mentioned that Brazil had a degrowth because of NVIDIA strike. You know, that has impacted the profitability in Brazil. So in a particular, period, depending on which are the entities contributing to profit in what proportion and depending on the tax rates in respective countries, the weighted average tax rate changes.
Okay, so just one last clarification on the tax rate. Let's say if I wanted to split it up just as an idea, what will be your tax rate just on the India business? Will it be like substantially lower than the 25-27% average? Or will
tax rate, because we have only AMT in partnership is 19% and MAT in three large is 20%. So it should be around 20% only, not more than that.
Only Indian operation. Okay, thank you.
But then there are other entities in India also which are having maximum tax rate, like Zydus Animal there, other subsidiaries like Liva. So it changes depending on the proportion.
Okay, that's useful. Thank you, Amran.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Binoy Pathiparambil from IIFL. Please go ahead.
Hi. The U.S. revenue, if we
can you please speak a little bit louder?
Yeah. I hope it is better now.
Yeah.
The U.S. revenue, the reported rupee number, if I take and divide it by the average dollar rate for this quarter and the corresponding quarter last year, I see hardly any growth, like almost flat, while you say that it's about 13% growth. Are we missing something there?
Includes Nesher also.
Yeah, including last year also, this quarter Nesher was there, right? The total reported years, right, you know, I'm saying.
So including Nesher,
just following up the last question, you know, it would be great if you could actually give in the call the adjustments regarding that biochem, because it is something important from our future projections perspective.
I'll explain to you. See, basically what happens, Cadila Healthcare Limited, supplies certain goods to other entities also. Related to those adjustments, you take into consideration while working out the pure India formulation growth.
I mean, Vishal will give you figures offline to, make this point understand clearly.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, I'll jump back to you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Karthik Mehta from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, in terms of the R&D incurred in this quarter, is there any particular reason for it being so high?
Yeah, I think the main reason for increase in the R&D cost is, development for certain new markets like Mexico, which we have picked up, and also development of certain complex products for, regulatory markets.
Yeah, and what would be the normalized R&D as a percentage of sales that one should be looking at?
Up to 6 to 7%.
Okay, and on the gross margins, if I may ask again, so we actually started sales from the U.S. plant, which wherein which we were able to clear the U.S. FDA issue. Now, in the future, we'll have Abbott sales. We would have incurred some expenses as well. What do you see the overall projection for the gross margin and also for the EBITDA margin, because with fair amount of contracts also have been expired, we hardly have any outstanding hedges remaining. So how do you see the improvement in the gross margin from here on?
It's a forward contract now almost getting all completed. The impact that we had in terms of negative effect on cost, that would not be there. That should improve our GC percentage. As we explained, the last part of reduction in GC percentage which you see in this quarter is due to cost effect due to Forex only, and some impact due to lower sales in Brazil, which also has a high GC product basket. So that being taken care of, we should be on normal basis. And with additional product launch in U.S. in times to come, definitely GC percentage should improve, and that should also correspondingly affect positively on EBITDA margin.
Okay. And in terms of the sales arrangements with Abbott, can you throw some light in terms of the product or in terms of the quantum? How do we build that now that we are actually very near to launch it?
Hello. I understood the question.
Yeah, in terms of our agreement with Abbott, now that we are very close to launch,
final number, so it will be difficult for us to give you any guidance.
Okay. Yeah, and one last thing was that any outlook on the French business in terms of new launches, etc.?
Yeah, in Europe, France and Spain, we have about 8 new products which we will be launching in this quarter of October to December.
8 new products. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Just wanted a bit more clarity on the domestic business. See, this time I think the growth is very good at about 18% ex of Biochem. But just wanted to ask, I mean, how much of this growth has come from your new launches and from your existing products? Second is, what are the kind of therapies that have outperformed this quarter to, you know, kind of give you this kind of a growth, and what do we expect going forward?
Out of the 18%, it is not that the new products have contributed more than maybe 2 or 3%. And, in terms of therapeutic categories, cardiovascular and diabetologicals have done well in this quarter. They have grown more than 20%.
Okay. And again, do we see this kind of run rate as far as launches going forward, or how do we see this run rate as far as the domestic business?
As far as the launch of new products is concerned, we are fairly well covered till the end of 2013.
Okay. And coming to the U.S. business, I mean, now that you have, launched 3 injectable products there, I mean, we should definitely start seeing the ramp-up of these products in the coming quarters. But, I mean, what is the kind of launches that we can expect from the injectable side as well as from the oral side in the next couple of quarters or so?
And just to say, we have a good pipeline, but I don't think we can give you more details at this point in time.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. I'm joining back with you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Arvind Bhutra from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just a couple of things. Following up on the questions asked on margins, just wanted to understand, we are on track of 50 to 100% margin improvement on a YOY basis?
Yes, we are. But for this forex movement, which are not in the controls of anybody.
Okay. If you don't declare forex impact, then we are on track as far as margin improvement is concerned.
Okay. So one more question. I mean, just to understand, Indian growth, India growth was much higher than usual, 28%. Is it fair to assume that the gross margins in domestic formulations is higher than the overall business, and hence that should ideally have gone up?
This 28% growth is also partially because of Biochem, and as you are aware, Biochem, the margins are relatively lower compared to the other domestic business.
Okay. But on the Cadila's own domestic business, the gross margins are relatively higher than the company average, right?
Yes.
Okay, can you just update a bit on your outstanding loans, and do we see with our increasing cash flow this loans reducing materially by end of this year?
Gross debt heading. Yeah,
see, the overall debt position as of September, in terms of gross level, is 2,540 crores, and net debt is 2,036 crores. And net debt equity ratio comes to 0.76 today. But going forward, we expect, the ratio definitely to improve.
But any tangible plans of reduction of debt by, say, 400, 500 crore with the additional profitability that we are seeing for the rest of the year? We've seen improvement in our working capital as well.
Not this year, because we have given guidance of 650 crore of capex for current year, so we don't expect debt reduction in the current year, but next year it is feasible.
Okay. I think finally on our wellness business, we talked about A&P spends which could be higher, but would that materially impact our SG&A as a percentage of sales from, say, 26% average? Can it go up to 27.5%?
See, you should take that, average for the entire year, because every quarter, depending on season and whether we are launching a particular new product in that period or not, can vary, quarter to quarter. So you should go by the annual average. So annual average percentage spent compared to last year should be higher in the current year.
Okay, final question on the JV, the Hospira JV. We've seen most of the products are getting launched, and even Texotere and Eloxitin now are reaching peak sales. Are there any significant more products which can scale up the JV sales much higher than the current run rate?
We don't have any significant product coming up.
Okay, so maybe the incremental growth is going to come from Bayer and Nicomet JVs.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That's it from my side.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Sharma from Carvey Stockbroking. Please go ahead.
Sir, in Zydus Wellness, I just wanted to know there has been a decline in the material cost. Any particular reason can be attributed for the same, sir?
Yes, it was mainly because of product mix and price increases taken in some of the products.
Okay, but this is sustainable, is it? Not on the decrease in the raw material front which is coming.
When our sale of Nutralite will get normalized, a percentage wise there will be change because Nutralite has a little lower margin. So the number will go down when Nutralite sales picks up.
Okay. I'll join back.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Krishna Kiran from ICICI Direct. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Sir, just to understand your opening remarks, I think a couple of questions were asked on this, but just want to know that about the injectable business, that in the opening remarks we have said around 10 ANDAs were approved, right?
Yes.
And 5 are injectables and 3 were launched, right?
Yes.
And how many products, injectables you are going to launch this quarter?
This quarter we are targeting to launch about 3 products.
Sorry, 3 products. Hello?
Yeah, we are planning to launch 3 products this quarter.
Sure. And, sir, one more doubt regarding that. Why this emerging market, growth, we are talking around 70% of growth in emerging markets. So, from where regions or where it's really driving the growth?
Actually, this is from Asia Pacific and Africa and Middle East. So, there are some very good factors, like last year for the same quarter in Sudan, due to some political turmoil, our sale was low.
Okay.
Also, in other countries where we had some initiatives taken last year, they have now started showing results. And as such, the emerging markets, generally are growing well. And considering for quite some time, we are managing to get some good benefits. And also, we have launched some new products in these markets. So it's a mix of so many factors overall.
Okay, and these sales also include that, three injectable products which we are discussing, answering the previous call or question, you said that it's in emerging or other exports.
Yeah, but that number is not very significant because it started in the last week of September.
Okay. Fine. And sir, last thing if I can, sir, how is our GA performance during the quarter, domestic market?
Please come again.
GA. Our gastrointestinal GA segment performance during the quarter.
Well, you asking how was it?
Because industry on whole, it's slightly improving. I know how we are placed compared with industry.
We are on budget, but in terms of growth, because we have our gastro portfolio spread across so many divisions. So I would not be honest in my reply to you unless I have all this data put together on the gastro segment.
Okay, fine.
Whereas in the, earlier I answered this, whereas in the cardiovascular and diabetology, we have specific divisions, so there I can give you an answer right away.
Okay, fine, thanks.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Sayan Mukherjee from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon everyone. Sir, on R&D cost, you mentioned 6 to 7%. Going forward, the next 2 years, do you see R&D cost going up substantially or it will remain in these range?
At this point in time, our planning is for not more than 6 to 7%.
Okay. And, some of the filings which you have done in the U.S., particularly transdermal, based on the communication from the FDA, I mean, do you see you are on track, and I mean, what is the feedback so far for a launch in fiscal 14?
We are on track in the sense we are expecting a U.S. FDA inspection very soon of our transdermal facility, and if that goes through well, then we should be looking at some revenues in the beginning of 2014.
Okay. And of the total pipeline, how many so far you have filed in the transdermal space?
We have filed 2 so far.
Okay. And you expect additional filing in the near term?
Yes. We have many times more that number, and we expect all those filings to be done in 2013.
Okay. Also, one question on lansoprazole ODT. I understand your 30-month stay has expired. Is there a reason why we don't have an approval yet?
Maybe if you can wait for the next quarter, we'll be in a better position to answer that.
Okay, thank you. And one last, question. I think in one of the replies you mentioned docetaxel, you have seen some increased traction. Is that sustainable? I'm just wondering what has changed, compared.
No, it is not sustainable. From whatever discussions we've been having, it would be inappropriate to say that this would be sustainable. But to what extent it would reduce, that too, we are not in a position to answer. But one thing is clear, this will not be sustainable.
So, I mean, in terms of the impact of it on your EBITDA or profit, is that a significant number?
So going forward, this reduction in docetaxel margins would not be so substantial that it would be materially impacting our total bottom line.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Jiten Doshi from Inam. Please go ahead.
The last 18 months have seen very challenging times for Cadila. Prior to that, between 2006 to 2011, you have shown some exemplary growth. What do you think has really gone wrong in the whole business model? Or, where do you think we are now in terms of the correction which you had talked of last year? Because you had said in 2012 that the worst is behind you, but it doesn't seem like by looking at the first 6 months' performance. So where do you really think we are in the journey?
Well, at this point in time, we look at a growth of around 25% for the total group, even going forward for the next 3-4 quarters. In terms of the things which went wrong, there are quite a few things. One is this US FDA warning letter which we received. The other is the ANVISA approvals in Brazil. And the foreign exchange also took its toll. So there have been quite a few factors which have really pulled us back in the last 1 year, as you have mentioned.
So where do we think we are on the track, to achieve the same profitability as we were experiencing before?
See, we have two major initiatives which we have initiated for the last 6 months. One is on the Salesforce effectiveness, which we call as Josh, and the other is Prism, which is a major exercise on driving down costs. So with these two initiatives, one is increasing the effectiveness in the field and then cutting down on costs, we think we should be back on track as far as our top line is concerned as well as our bottom line.
So what do you think? This is one of your worst quarters now? You think from next quarter itself we should see improvement, or from next year we should see improvement?
You have used quite an extreme word, worst quarter. Unless I'm God, I don't think I'll be able to tell you whether it's the worst quarter.
What I'm saying is the worst behind you. Means in the sense that we are used to seeing very good growth from your side, and you have demonstrated that in the past.
Yeah, but as I told you, we are expecting growth of 25%. So unless you are expecting something more than that.
I'm talking about the margins.
Even in margins?
I'm talking about the profit. So, top line, yes, you are achieving. When do you think we'll go back to the old margin, and what do you really think is the new normal in terms of the sustainable profit margin?
Our margins are sustainable, and we always intended to improve it by 0.5% or 1% every year.
Yeah.
But for the issues that we faced in the current year in terms of forex fluctuations, which eroded our gross margin, due to impact of forward cover as well as, you know, the stock valuation impact. If you see, you know, compared to the last year, we have still improved, if I ignore the forex impact, our GC by 0.3%. So, and then there are other factors which, like, for example, this time we have higher R&D cost and things like that, but we think that we are, you know, reaching again normal level and again start improving on profitability.
So, what do you think are the normal levels for that?
We always had, you know, about 20 to 23% kind of EBITDA margin, which we expect to reach very fast, and then again we can talk about improvement with initiatives like PRISM, which Ms. Nair just now talked about, which is a very ambitious, you know, project for us in terms of improving our profit margins.
Okay, so basically, you know, you still stick to the $3 billion guidance that you had given us last year?
Yeah, we must stick to that.
Okay, and that you said is on an organic basis that should happen. And you believe that you, when you are going to be hitting the $3 billion level, you would be able to record that 23-24% EBITDA margin?
Yes.
Okay, so you believe that, I mean, this is an aberration, and you believe as you go into the next year, you should be able to go back to the 22-23% margin with a 25-27% growth?
In fact, we are targeting even better margins going forward because of a larger contribution of other new technology areas, including transformers, which are definitely more profitable than the current businesses.
Okay, so I would say that, you know, that's the reason I'm saying the worst in terms of the margins is now behind us, do you believe?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, you know, there are other further, you know, adverse fluctuations in forex.
Yeah, barring that.
Absolutely.
Alright. Pankaj bhai, we have a lot of hope on you. I wish you all the very best. And we hope to see better numbers coming from your side in the days ahead.
Give you your good wishes.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking the question. So on the U.S. business, you know, we are almost like on a flat constant currency basis despite the launches that we've had in the current quarter. Is there been any significant erosion on any of our larger existing mature products for the last couple of quarters?
See, the launches which you are talking about are injectables, and they are mainly for the partner, so they are not included in the US field.
So you talked about the ANDA approvals for the quarter, sir, and, you know, including five, so there are about five more approvals that you seem to have got for the quarter.
Yeah, but we are not launching any products in the US
okay.
On our own side.
Okay, and when do you see these launches happening, these approvals that you've got?
In the first quarter of 2013.
Oh, okay. So they will not happen in this quarter also.
This quarter we are expecting one product in measure towards the last month.
Okay. And sir, on the okay, fine. This is thanks very much. Thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Girish Bakru from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just on US again, I wanted to know the update on Metoprolol. When do we see approvals from there? Any timelines?
On Metoprolol, no. At this point in time, we are not in a position to give any fixed date.
Okay, and just on the overall sense, I mean, if you see the first half, we have done about 140 odd million, if I'm taking it to a current rate. Just from the FY14 perspective, would 350 would be a number to look at in the U.S. territory, if you can give a guiding ballpark number?
350?
Yeah.
2014?
Yeah. FY14.
14, yes.
It would be easily achievable?
Yes.
And how much would, say, the pipeline from Nesher or, say, approvals from nasal spray and all those complex generics play a role in that? I'm just trying to get a sense. Would
definitely will play a role, but I can't tell you the exact breakup.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Manoj Garg from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question again. Pankaj, you mentioned about the Freedom 2, the initiative which you have started in terms of cost optimization. So whether we start seeing the benefit of the same or it will be a little back-ended?
We have already started getting the benefit because this exercise was actually started in the month of April.
Okay.
So from this quarter, from the last 2 months we have started and it keeps on getting, keeps on ramping up.
Okay.
But ramp up, of course, you know, would keep on increasing over a period of time because this is, you know, this implementation of various, you know, measures
definitely take time. And, you know, we are keeping the target of another, 12 months to, reach this optimum level.
And what kind of cost reduction, which we are estimating or as a percentage of revenue because of this project?
We have a very ambitious target, but right now we have not publicly disclosed that number, but it's a significant amount, that much we can say.
Okay. And one of the earlier con call, we have indicated towards the scope of we are looking to expand the scope of two JVs. One is Nycomed, and now with the Takeda entity, and second is Hospira. Are there any talks which have been initiated towards that?
Yes. Let's start with Hospira. We are getting into phase two, and we have, I can't give the number because it's a joint venture thing. We have around 8 to 10 products which we are putting into phase two in the JV of Hospira.
Mm-hmm.
And for Nycomed, now that Takeda is the new owner of Nycomed, we have those 14 APIs which we started working on. And from, March or April 2013, we should start seeing the sales of those in Zydus Takeda.
Is there any talk towards the Japanese market, where if Takeda tomorrow looks as a generic entry, Kedala could be a potential partner to manufacture those products in Japan for Japanese market?
No. We don't have anything on that front.
As for these 8 to 10 products which you are mentioning about Hospira JV, again they are in the oncology injectable only?
Sorry?
This was 8 to 10 products which you are talking in Hospira JV. Are they into oncology?
Yeah.
And what kind of incremental capex which we need to put for this JV, sir?
So we'll have about $10 million
Of our side?
Yeah, $20 million total hours with them.
Okay, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. Participants, due to time constraint, we're requesting each participant to limit up to 2 questions at a time. We'll take the next question from the line of Anirudh Joshi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello sir. I want to check in terms of Zydus Wellness, what is really driving the growth? Because we have seen the revenue growth momentum in terms of Sugar Free or even Everyuth, both the brands, it is back on track. So basically, what is driving this strong revenue growth? Is it maybe new launches or is it ad spend or is it distribution expansion or what is going wrong, what is going right for us now?
Well, it is both expansion, distribution expansion, and also some of the brand extensions which we had launched earlier. Some of them are also contributing. So it is not just one factor. And also you must understand, last year we did not have a good quarter, a corresponding quarter. So it also is a base effect.
Okay, so that is also the reason, right? And in terms of Sugar Free Delight, do you want to give any more light on what is the progress?
Sugar Free Delight.
Yes.
And that's a very small product extension. I don't think it has any major contribution to our group numbers.
No, but I guess we had high hopes from that category, that entire brand, Sugar Free Delight. So any update on that?
Okay,
sir. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Prakash Agarwal from CIMB. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. On the capex side, if you could give a breakup of the approximately 400 crores spent and the likely additional 250 crores for the remaining of the year?
Yeah. What kind of breakup do you require?
In terms of which categories or which business segments are we actually spending money and what is the growth prospects?
It's different segments. I don't have all the
details. The major ones, sir.
Major ones are formulations in biology.
Okay, so these are the setting up factories in our Indian locations?
Yes.
And biologics would be the same?
Yeah, we are setting up a facility for biologics, MAB. And in the formulation side, mainly with India, as well as we are expanding refurbishing the facility of Mishra.
Okay, and the remaining 250 crores, which is planned capex, is also towards these two largely.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and sorry if I missed this. Doxitaxel, you said that 2Q was higher, and you said the current run rate in 3Q is actually higher. I just missed that.
The 2Q was higher,
and it continues.
Yeah, that kind of run rate is not sustainable.
No, no, not sustainable in future, but in 3Q, is it continuing or it is not continuing?
This quarter, it might continue.
Okay, okay, got it. Okay, okay. And lastly, on the domestic formulations, obviously, we've seen good growth, 18% ex-Myochem, but with 16 product launches. So, any color you are giving on the, you know, the full year growth, ex-Pachem, and the kind of launches we can expect?
For this quarter, we are expecting growth on similar lines.
Sorry, sir?
For this quarter, meaning October to December, we are expecting growth on similar lines.
Okay, but for the full year, you have any number in mind?
Full year, you know, for the first 6 months and this, and January, February, March, we don't foresee much of a difference in terms of the growth number.
Strong growth continues, basically, with the, largely this confidence comes with the new product launches in future, or...
As I said earlier, it is not only new products, our existing business, but the initiatives which we have taken, plus the chronic therapy is growing better. So there are, 3-4 factors.
Right. Right. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Monica Joshi from Avendus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just for clarification, you said that the injectable launches are recorded in emerging markets. Is it? Why is that so?
No, it is. Emerging market and other is a residual category. So basically, the injectable launches are not in our own US business. These are the injectables for a partner. So it's kind of a contract manufacturing sales which we have booked, and that is booked in the other category.
But the partner is selling in U.S. or is the partner selling in emerging markets?
Partner is selling in U.S. Partner might be selling in any other country. But for us, it is not our own U.S. Operation. It is only a supply of product.
Okay, so what you book in U.S. is only your direct sales and any other sales go through the emerging and others category.
Yes. Okay. That way, the hospital, GV also sells in so many countries, but we report only one number.
Understood. Got that. So just one clarification on the tax rate. Is it possible that you have booked supplies to your subsidiary in Brazil? Have you booked taxes on the profits on that sale? And will that kind of negate or rationalize in the December or March quarter?
Sorry, can you repeat?
You would be shipping goods from India to Brazil, right, for your LATAM sales. And I understand there was a strike there and thus you couldn't put that inventory into the market. But have you booked any taxes on that sale that you have done from India to your
Brazil? We have to. Whatever sale we make from India is a sale, but while we prepare a consolidated result for any profit which is there in unsold inventory at subsidiary level, you know, we have to remove. But then, you know, so far as India is concerned, yes, it is a sale, and therefore India recognized that as a revenue. But the question there is different, that Brazil, because in the this particular quarter, in the degrowth in Brazil sales, you know, we have a major impact on profitability, that being a high contribution business. And therefore, you know, the overall tax rate goes up.
Okay, understood. And so thirdly, on the CapEx side, is it possible for us to understand, just a ballpark number of the 650 crores, how much is the investment that would go into biologics, one? And secondly, in FY14, will this number of 650 crores come down substantially, or are you seeing a similar kind of number?
We are not in a position to give that breakup, as Vital just mentioned, you know, the large part of for overall formulation business, and then also for biologics, transdermal and mixer. Next year, we have yet not summed up the numbers, but we believe it can be around 400 crores, so it should be lower than the current year.
Sir, you said 200 crores or 400 crores?
400 crores for next year.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Alok Dalal from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good afternoon, everyone. Just wanted to understand the incremental products in the Hospira JV. Is the commercial supply agreement similar to the first six products that we had?
Oh, it is different.
Okay, is it substantially different from what was there?
Central methodology is different, so we can't really comment on that.
Okay.
Are still quite attractive compared to any such, you know, normal contract manufacturing agreements would be there. They're quite attractive that way, but they are not on the same lines as for the first six products.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Sriram Rathi from Anand Rathi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, my questions have been answered. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Praful Bora from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Sir, can you quantify the impact because of the new pricing policy? I mean, assuming a market link policy comes in.
Way to really quantify today, because let the policy come in its right letter and then only we can evaluate the impact. As you know, a lot of analysts have already given several reports, you know, which actually confuse so many people, and therefore it's really no point, you know, discussing the policy which is yet to be out.
Okay, fine, sir. Secondly, I just missed the point on the Forex hedges. You said that we have hedged largely below 50, is it?
So we have now only $19 million worth of forward covers which are left. Mm-hmm. And, the average rate there is a little more than 50 rupees per dollar.
Okay, you said 90, right?
19.
Okay, fine. And sir, any, forex losses we have in the balance sheet which are not yet recognized?
Yes. Balance of hedge reserve, I can share that offline, the number. There are two accounts, one is foreign currency, monetary item, translation difference account, in which there was certain balance, and the another balance is the hedge reserve, in which there was certain balance. So okay. These are the two items where, the forex loss or gain, which has not been charged to P&L, is parked in the balance sheet.
Okay, so that was a forex gain, is it?
Oh, it could be gain or it could be loss also.
Sure, I'll take care of that. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Gargi Dev from MicroSec. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Can you throw some light on the margin of the animal healthcare segment?
Sorry?
Animal healthcare segment. Margin of animal healthcare segment?
No specific margin entity-wise, but we have talked about growth, which is around 20% growth of animal health business. But the margins are quite attractive, that's what you can say.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Meeta Shetty from Asian Market. Please go ahead.
Just one thing. Now that the contract manufacturing indicators that we are doing, booking the sales under the emerging, when will we start seeing some sales coming for US as well? Hello?
You are talking about injectables?
Yeah, the US. I mean, I believe we had 17 filings of which 2 or 3 were our own and the rest were for the partner. So when will we see some sales booked from our sales itself?
So you're talking about our own injectable ones.
Yes.
That should be, I think, probably in the second half of next year.
Second half of next year. Okay. And the new filings that we have done, the additional injectable filings, are they for the partner or are they for Canada itself?
Partner.
For the partner again. Okay. All right. Thanks. That's all from my side.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Kaustubh Pawaskar from Sharekhan. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. I have a question on Zydus Wellness. So, FY 2012, we have seen that Sugar Free category itself grew by just 5%. So now, first half has almost gone. So, how is the category shaping up? Are we seeing improvement in the category growth for sugar-free?
See, what has happened is sugar-free, now our current market share is 90% plus. And unless we grow the category, the growth of the category will be driven by what we are doing. You can very well understand with some 90% market share. So now, since last 6 months, we are looking at an initiative in expanding the market by way of increasing consumer usage as well as by way of increasing distribution.
Okay. But then that has helped you to improve the growth, or it is still stagnant at around 5 to 6%?
Now it is in double digits.
Now it is in double digits. Okay. And so my second question is on the gross margins. You have mentioned that the improvement in the revenue mix and price increases helped you to achieve good gross margins in quarter two. Now, quarter three seasonally is a strong quarter for Nutralite. But now we have seen that vegetable oil prices have, especially the palm oil prices, have corrected from their highs and now they have stabilized. So should we expect this correction in the palm oil prices to help you to post better margins in quarter three as well?
That's a good observation you have. But see, one of the reasons we lost on Nutralite is because to make up for the increase in the oil prices, we had to increase our selling price, because of which our volumes came down. So now there will be a correction in the volumes.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, that was the last question. I would now like to hand the floor back to Mr. Ganesh Nayak for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you very much for bearing with us for the last 1 hour, and look forward to again interacting with you in the month of February for the next quarterly results. Thank you very much, and a good evening to you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Cadila Healthcare Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.